Hey everyone, I'm Emily.
I'm Jeff.
I'm Johnny.
We are For All Seasons, and you're listening to the More Than Music podcast. So welcome back, everybody. This is our first podcast of this type. Last week, we released a podcast that talked all about the making of our first song of the year, which was Every Good Thing. We talked about the demo process and the story that inspired it. So if you haven't heard that episode, you can go back and listen. But this episode, we'll have 11 more of them this year, is designed specifically to dive into the season that the song was written about. And so as we look at the song Every Good Thing, as you may have heard last week, it was written around a season of seeing. And when we say a season of seeing, we mean seeing God at work, seeing his blessing, where there isn't these huge questions of why isn't God following through, but you can actively see him at work. Next month, the theme is going to be waiting, so you could see how this would be the opposite. And so today, we want to take a moment and really dive into what does it look like to be in a season of seeing. And what is God calling us into as we walk through that season?
Yeah, when we were thinking about the season of seeing God at work, there was somebody who specifically came to mind who happens to be our guest on this episode.
Yay.
And we we're excited to dive into this with him. We met him on the Future Tour this spring that we talked about in the earlier episodes. But we've just been so inspired by him as a person, as a friend, and the stories that he's been able to share with us. And that was what immediately we thought of when wanting to talk about this with somebody. So our guest is...
Drumroll, Johnny.
Or Pedro.
Oh, that's true, but they don't know that yet.
Here's drum roll. I can't do anything. That's Pedro Latorre, everyone.
Hey, I'm here.
So like Jeff said, Pedro was on tour with us for the Jordan Feliz Future Tour. He was the guy that spoke for Compassion every night and represented them. And so we got to know him over a month process or a month and a half or so. And so many awesome conversations. I feel like we were able to walk away uplifted. Even times of prayer. I feel like we had like a few moments where the tour was collectively on the same page that night. Even like Grand Junction, I think is like the one night that I really remember that. I feel like it was, I think, our only show in a theater versus a church.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were just kind of praying over the theater and even just kind of people that came in after would like... the remnants of the Holy Spirit would still be there. And it was just such a rad night. And so, I think even some people will say that Pedro kind of even takes a pastoral role on these tours. And so just hearing so many other people say that they've been uplifted and encouraged by him, we are in that boat as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so absolutely. Thanks for being here, dude.
It's my honor.
Luckily, he lives very close to us in LA.
Yeah.
With his wife, Jessie, and his adorable son, Justice.
Justice Arrow.
It's an unusual day in LA with the rain. We're getting some Portland vibes out here.
It is. Gloomy.
I'm drinking coffee out of a leather mug thing.
You're so cool.
It is literally like a mason jar. It is so Portland.
I'm so hipster. It is what it is. I like that you remember all the spiritual moments on the tour, and all I could think about, even like Grand Junction, was like we threw the football after that night, like forever.
Yeah.
And I remember like throwing my arm
in the green
out.
Room. Yeah. Running into the street. Like
That was also a night that we got pizza. I remember that. Because I remember.
Yeah, Jeff, I don't remember that. Myself. I remember working out and Emily like videoing me from her phone. And
what?
She said, all of you guys, or Pedro's making us look bad on the tour.
Oh, yeah, I did.
I remember that because it was kind of an ego boost in the moment.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, but that was every night.
Unforgettable. Yeah, of course. I mean, of course.
Clearly by what we see in front of us.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Totally.
Love it.
Pedro, we were so excited to have you on this podcast, especially talking about this season of life, because we've firsthand heard so many of just the amazing stories of you seeing God at work in your life that we want you to share them with more people. We want to celebrate those things. And I was just thinking maybe you could give us a little bit of backstory. You know, we met you on the Future Tour. You were working for Compassion International. what's your journey just kind of leading up to that point, and then what are you doing now?
Yeah, that's a loaded question.
That's a lot.
That's a lot. So pretty much just give us your whole life story
with your social. You got about 30 seconds.
I think to back up a little bit, you know, I was a kid who never thought I'd be on stage, you know, speaking. So, you know, I was 7 years old. My parents got divorced. 9 years old when my mom remarried my dad's best friend. Hashtag drama.
Yikes.
Went to like 18 or 19 schools in 20 years. We actually lost count of how many schools I went to growing up across 5 different states. And so I was a kid who was pursuing baseball and wanting to be, you know, famous and maybe rich and maybe more rich than famous. I wanted to pursue baseball because my dad was a professional athlete. And so I kind of worked to kind of impress him my whole life. And then at like 16, 17 years old, just kind of having an epiphany that came through tearing my rotator, my labrum, my shoulder, and realizing like I'm putting all my worth and value in a game, you know, and which we all do to some extent. And then found myself speaking at a young age. I was 18, 19 years old when I first spoke. I remember even being in high school. I led a Bible study in my high school. I went to a Christian school, so it's not that spiritual, so calm down.
Wow.
Just need to preface that, like, wow, this guy's really spiritual. He's like Gandhi.
Like the Christian Gandhi.
The Christian Gandhi, the Jesus Gandhi. Wait, what? Where's this going? What's in my coffee?
Leather.
Yeah, leather. Lots of leather. And so, yeah, just, you know, found myself speaking and in ministry and honestly, like it's crazy now. I get on stage and I essentially get paid to tell stories, you know. And the unfortunate part about being a good storyteller is you have to go through some bad stories. And so I feel like that's the part for me that's been the journey, is walking through a lot of good and a lot of bad, you know. Yeah. And leading up to that tour, there was all kinds of transitions happening in my life. You know, we felt called into kind of a missional house church community plant thing. And we were like, what does that look like? We felt, you know, we had a kid. Obviously, our son just turned 3, but at the time was obviously a little younger. And so we were figuring out parenting, which you're figuring out every day. And, you know, yeah. Then I'm on a tour with you guys and living the dream. And so...
And were you on the road most of the year, or was it just kind of here and there that you would go on these tours?
Yeah, so usually I did about two tours a year, and then, you know, collectively I would end up doing, you know, 60 to 70 dates a year over the last 5 or 6 years. Obviously, I was touring drummer before that, and so speaking always just felt so light. I would see other speakers on the road, and they're like, I'm so tired. And I'm like, this is amazing in comparison to drumming. Like, drumming, I felt like I never had time to breathe, you know, and it's a lot more work. You're carrying around equipment, and you're having to think a lot more. And
the setup, speaking's like the teardown.
Yeah, nothing.
The worst.
Johnny, you know about this.
I do know about this. I'm quitting today.
I resign now that we're on the topic.
Please don't.
So it's been a wild ride. You know, again, speaking was never something I thought I would do. And it's still kind of weird to think like, wow, I speak for a living. Like, people listen to me? Why would anybody listen to me?
Yeah. I feel like we were just talking about that as a band. Just like, you know, when we threw our listening party, we're like, people actually want to come hear our music.
Yeah.
Like, why?
Yeah.
I mean, it makes sense. It's like,
it's awesome.
Know, communication. I mean,
no.
Yeah.
Well,
that's what I was going to say.
Right.
I mean, like, communicating is a talent. Like, to be able to, you know, captivate an audience, to be able to explain yourself. I mean, I, for one, am not the best at explaining myself. But yeah, watching you do that every night. And I think something that really impresses with you is it never felt, I mean, you know, you would tell some of the same jokes here and there.
Yes. Oh, yes. Very much
so. Some jokes just really work, Jeff.
You know, but when it works, Jeff, you just keep going for it, man.
Jeff, you laughed every night at
I
those
did.
Same jokes.
I did. No, what I was going to say is that even though those were there, it never felt, you know, just completely rehearsed. I know that you put, I mean, so much prayer into every time that you were doing that. And that in itself is, you know.
And even the idea of just believing what he's saying.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, part of your story with Compassion was that you had an experience getting to know a child specifically, right?
Yeah, and honestly, I don't know if you guys talk about this ever, but as a Enneagram 4, one of the hardest things you can ask a fool.
We haven't talked about it on the show yet.
Okay.
But at some point, we probably were going to get there.
Okay.
But so this is a good little like...
Am I opening
like,
the doors up at just a pinch?
This is like a... What would you say? Like an appetizer.
Mm. An appetizer, if you will.
Oh. My gosh.
Keep it cheesy.
Communicator over here.
Keep it cheesy. Where were we?
Enneagram 4.
So that one of the hardest things about being a 4 and being a communicator is that you're asked to do something, you know, we really want authenticity. So as a human being, I'm wired for being authentic. And so when you do the same thing night after night after night, it can start feeling like contrived and funky just because of repetition alone. Mm-hmm. And so, and I'm actually finding this in all spaces of my life, whether it's marriage or parenting or even friendships. Like when I text the similar thing or say the similar, say, I love you, babe. Like I'm the guy who's asking myself, like, do I really mean it though? You know, like, and I'll go walk back outside to say it again. Be like, hey, I didn't really mean it. Like I meant it. Because that's offensive. But I didn't mean it. Like, you know, my wife totally
gets it, babe.
That's why she married me for the crazy.
I was kidding before, but I thought about it. I was like, I actually love you.
I really do feel that. But yeah, so it's always a compliment to hear. Like, you know, when you're doing something over and over, that people still feel something. And they walk and they go like, man, that actually moved me in some way. And yeah.
Yeah, and I think it's that authenticity that really led us to bringing you onto this episode because, I mean, we talked about this in last week's episode, but we had kind of gone through a season of really seeing God provide what we needed. And that had happened maybe like 6 months before we were on tour. And that's actually that specific time within like a day or two was when the song was written. And so then to go on tour and to spend time with someone who was actively seeing God move, but more importantly, giving God the credit for it, was such a cool thing to witness, because something I think we want to talk about today is like how often we can attribute good things in life to things other than God. Mm-hmm. For a multitude of reasons we do it. But I'd love to hear kind of your mentality when it comes to seeing things happening in your life and then either the struggle to attribute it to God or to second guess it. Because I know, at least for me, that like month that we were on the road, like to see you without a doubt, just be like, God is providing in this way. Like God's pulling through in this way. And also like all the details are not even ironed out yet, but I'm just going to believe that that's what's happening.
Yeah.
Was really so encouraging for our own faith.
Well, I appreciate that. I think faith is a funny thing. Yeah. It's so scary, you know? I think this journey for us, you know, to give a little context for listeners, we're on a tour, we're doing life back home. My wife and I are feeling called to start this church planting thing in homes. And we decided we should probably move from our little 2-bedroom apartment into, you know, a house. And you guys know, we pulled the trigger for that.
Uber.
It was crazy.
While on tour.
Oh, that's right.
And even just coming up the West Coast, and it was like the day we were like, we're going to go look at this house. The house was crazy. We're like, there's no way we could get in this house. And without going through all the details, it was just every detail aligned so perfectly. And I think to answer your question a bit, or at least try to, because there's so many answers that come to mind, but to try to, when you see so many things happen that are so outside of your control, but yet they perfectly line up, you know, there's a pretty good indicator that God's probably in that, you know? And so for me, that's honestly one of the biggest gauges in my life. You know, I tell people all the time, like I don't often hear an audible voice from God. I don't often hear some clear message from him, like, do this. Like, God doesn't tweet me and like DM me, and like I don't get any of that. But he definitely starts working in my everyday life. Mm-hmm. And I start seeing him. I think when you dedicate time with him, you start noticing. Like the Bible says, my sheep know my voice. But I think we also recognize just the movement of God in our life, you know? Everything we see and experience is a byproduct of God's voice. Everything, like these microphones, are a byproduct of his voice, him speaking something into existence. And so for us, like, that's how we move in our home, is when we start seeing him, we pray into things, we walk after it, we go in for it, and then we're like, whoa, this is actually aligning. Whoa, this lady likes us that we could potentially rent this house for. Is she willing to come down a lot on price? And then she is like, okay, could be God, because yeah, no one yeah. does that in LA. So I think that's a big part of the journey. And so as far as like not taking credit for it, man, that's an easy one for me, just being honest, because I've just seen myself. I know the real me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like I can fake it in front of everybody, but I know the real me. And so
and when being that four.
It's the four, man, I guess. I don't know. It just
do you feel like there was a point in your life where that wouldn't be the case? Like where things were happening and
yeah, the credit definitely. Wasn't? Yeah, definitely. I think there's definitely been times where you know, and even worse, I think there are times where I was hoping for God to show up, and then he showed up last minute, and then I acted like I came through. Like I came right. through. Like, oh man, I'm just glad I thought to call that dude and like come, you know, and you're like, what are you saying? Like, that was God, man. Like, so yeah, I think it's easy to take credit because it's our human nature. Like it's our nature yeah. to just assume things are happenstance. They just happened. It was just like a byproduct of chance. Or I was in the right place at the right time. Like we say all these things.
And, yeah.
But it's like with God, there's nothing is accidental, you know? And so he's either fully in everything or he's not in anything. And so when you see him in everything, you're just like, all right, yeah. this was you. This was you and I trust you. And giving him glory is just a matter of recognizing it's a perspective thing. You know, like we say that phrase in church culture is like, you know, give God glory.
And it's yeah.
like, God doesn't need our glory. Like we're simply, glory just means to reflect. All it is we're reflecting. So are you going to reflect and then act like it was not him? You know what I mean? Like
right.
that's like seeing yourself, you know, passing a store, whatever, glass and seeing yourself and be like, that wasn't me. Everyone would be like, that's dumb. That was you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think in the same way, when we see God move in our lives, it's like, that was God. Why are we acting like it's not? So
I feel like I felt cheesy for saying like, oh, like God did this. And so you start saying things about like, man, like I'm glad that worked out, coincidence, yeah. like, or how crazy was that coincidence this happened? And attributing that to something is so much better than just saying it's coincidence.
Yeah. And I think what's really powerful too is as you attribute it to God in a public way, not yeah. meaning like you know, jump on the roof of this house and start yelling it, which you could. But in your friend groups or whatever, when you give the credit to God, it encourages other people's faith.
Yes.
And I think, you know, God's like pretty smart how he designs things. So it's like not only is he wanting the glory for himself, but he realizes that as we share about what God is doing, it's going to encourage the faith of another believer who maybe is not walking through that same season where they're able to actively see God move. And it brings remembrance to people's mind of like, God is still there. God is still working. Not in this like favorites thing of like, oh, God is like providing what I need, but he's not providing what you need. But helping people to see beyond maybe just what's superficially mm-hmm. in front of us. I know like that is definitely like a difficult thing I'm having to walk through right now. My mom has cancer. And so like hearing stories of other people being healed, it's like Satan wants to mess with my mind and say like, well, God's really providing and pulling through for them, but like not for you.
Yeah.
But when I stop myself and seek the Lord in it, it's like God is so faithful to say like, see what I'm doing in their life. I'm actively working in your life as well. And reminding me that sometimes the end game or goal of what I want, which in this case is my mom to be like fully healthy and fully healed in my yeah. timing tomorrow, like, or right now, she's yeah. going to call me right now. That sometimes that thing that I want is like not what's best for me or for her or for the situation,
which
but
is
that
so
he's still in control
to,
of it.
To yeah, think through.
Right. It's so frustrating, but it's like just people talking about how God is working in their lives, like brings all of that to the surface.
Mm-hmm.
But if I was just isolated, feeling like God's not doing anything in my life. He's probably not doing anything in anyone's lives. Like he's just forgotten about all of us. But it's like someone telling their story reminds me that he hasn't forgotten. And then encourages me to see him moving because the reality is he is moving and he is doing things. It's just up to me, that perspective word again, of like, do I want to put on the perspective of, you know, I serve a God and follow a God who is actively involved in the lives of his people. There's this passage that I kind of always go back to in Psalm. It says, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing praises to him, tell of all his wondrous works. And it just goes on and has all these reference points of like, make known his deeds, like tell of his wondrous works. And we do kind of look at them as like worshipy language, you know, like what is a forever? Give thanks to the Lord our God and King. You know,
everyone.
Right.
His love endures forever. Chris, thanks later.
But we're so used to that. But the reality is something as simple as me being with my family and something happening, let's say within the band, where something really works out, that me saying, yeah, God really like made sure that the timing worked out for that. It seems like something so small, but it can mean and do so much.
Yeah. And I think what's cool about, we talk about kind of the phrase like giving God credit. It's like, it's actually just a reminder for ourselves. And for, like you said, for others. You know, I heard a pastor say once, you know, David in the Psalms, most of those were written in caves, and he would be saying these Psalms out loud, like they were songs, you know, he was singing them, and when he would sing them, they would bounce back to him. And that he would often be saying this as to hear the echo back in the cave as he's alone and he's isolated and he's cold and he's fearing, literally fearing for his life, like thinking, I could die today, could be my day, this moment I could, and that's such a reminder for me is like, I'll be honest, like on my darkest days, even now, the first thing I do is I call people and I ask them to tell me something in their life that they're thanking God for, or to remind me of a time in my life where he moved. It's like one of the, it's like my go-to. It is my, like people have their go-to song or their go-to show. That's like my go-to thing. Because it's so easy to be driven by emotions and feelings. And what I love about Psalms is, and that's been such a source of hope, you know, same watching my dad walk through stage 4 bone cancer. And that's, it's just been such a hope for me of going like, David in the same psalm would go from, why are you so downcast, oh my soul, broken, dismayed, torn up on the inside, confused, angry at God, like point blank calling God out, like, where are you? Do you even love me? Do you even care about me? And at the end, he'd be like, I'm going to tell the world of your greatness. You know, I'm like, you are bipolar, so bro. But I'm like, as you know, as me, you guys know me, I feel like that's me every day, you know, like seriously, that's me every day. So the thing that keeps me steady in life, I feel like, is remembering. And actually, it's funny, in one of those particular Psalms where David is doing his confusing dance of, you're horrible, you're amazing. Right before he says, you're amazing, he says, remember. He tells his soul to remember. And I think there's just something powerful about remembering what God has done. The word testimony, you know, all these words, I've actually gone back later in life and started looking up all these words and going like, what do these words mean that we say? You know, like I kind of grew up in a lot of different church settings, you know, and testimony literally means testify, to testify. It means do it again. Like we're asking God, like, hey, do it again. We're saying it because we know you've done it. So just do it again. We don't necessarily believe you will, but we believe you've done it. So maybe if we can believe you've done it, maybe you will do it again. And so...
That's awesome.
Cheers to that, huh?
I think the Psalms really are like a spitting image of what we go through. Like even when you were talking through it, a season of seeing, I feel like they just go like hand in hand. You know, it's like you're just jumping from one season to the next one, and it's like it's not like you can experience a season of seeing just over and over and over. It's like, you know, I don't know. I think about like hiking a mountain or something. It's like what the view at the top of the mountain is not as great unless you've endured the hike to get up to the top. Like I could, you know, my wife and I did a hike in the Grand Canyon in May, and you could helicopter down to these like crazy red rocks, turquoise blue waterfalls, like 300 feet, and you can swim in the water and you can helicopter down the canyon, 7-minute ride, or you can hike 10 miles to get there.
Wow.
in and out of the canyon. And there were times where we really wanted to take the helicopter. Yes. And then we got down to the river down there, and people have these like pop-up like easy tents and like their coolers. And so I'm like, how did they get all this stuff down here? Oh, yeah. But there's something true about, like, you know, like you said, and like maybe God has us in that season of, whether it's a season of waiting or a season of sorrow. And it only really highlights the great things that he does. Yeah. But, you know, when I think back to like the Israelites, and sometimes I read those passages and I'm like, you idiots, just do what God said to do. Like, why is it so hard? But then like, if I take a accurate look at my own life, like that's just the story over and over. Right. It's like,
they're saying that now to you. You idiot.
Exactly. Yeah, from heaven.
Totally.
That's funny. They come hand in hand, but it really, remembering is like a practice. Yeah. It's like you have to, and that's probably why it says it so much. Like I remember going through Deuteronomy and it was like, I started to count the amount of times that it says, remember, remember, like they're building these altars. And like, you know, that was, I mean, to be honest, that was one of the reasons we wrote Every Good Thing, was to make a monument of a big moment where God really, really provided for us. And I think, like you were saying, Pedro, it's so easy to misplace the credit. It's so easy. And I don't know if it's American culture, like the rags to riches that we celebrate in the movies, like
Shark Tank.
Shark Tank, exactly.
I don't know if it's Shark Tank.
I don't know if it's Forbes magazine or what is it? I don't know.
But so specific. When we see somebody who is in the limelight, who has experienced incredible success, we immediately want to know how they did it, you know?
Right. Yeah.
And for someone who has experienced that success to say, it was God. Or it was my family. It was these just random things that happened along my life. And really, I just worked hard. And it wasn't these specific, you know, three steps to success. But that doesn't make a New York Times bestseller. No. You know, it's like what sells is I know how to do it. And just, you know, buy my book so I can make more money.
Yeah, I had somebody tell me once, he was like, you know, we all want to have a story, but none of us want to live one, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's hard because that's the hard part of life. Like living a story is the hardest part. Like watching a parent go through cancer is hard, you know, but there's lessons in that. And then, you know, for us, this in the same year, last year, you know, we miscarried, lost a child on Good Friday in Nashville, Tennessee, while we were on tour, in between two tours. Our mail's getting dropped off right now here at the house. Thank you. Love you. So we miscarried. And then on top of that, they thought I had cancer at one point, which was kind of a crazy, probably 3 or 4 day period. I don't, thank God, but it was still really scary. And I feel like the funny thing is, like, we all want these stories in our lives, whatever, our, you know, we want to live a big story, have a big story. But when we're in the middle of one, we're like, I just want out. Like, I just want out of this story. This is horrible. This is a nightmare. But I think, again, coming back to that same idea is what I love about remembering. This is just personal, and I was just thinking about this while we were talking. Like, what I love about remembering is it causes me to celebrate something that's already happened, like a win that's already happened in my life. And something about celebrating a win in a past season gives you faith for the season you're walking in or about to walk in. Even sitting here now in the house that I set on tour, like God told me, he's speaking to my heart. And I'm like, when I say God told me, it's like 90% sure, because it could be coffee and a lot of other hipster elements. But I really felt confident. I mean, I remember talking with you guys on the bus and whatnot, and just saying, I really feel confident that he's stirring something. I just feel like we're supposed to do it. I know it's crazy. There's so many things in my psyche and my mind that are saying, don't do it. And then we did it. And then shortly after doing it, not long later, just months later, I lost a tour. I was supposed to go out on a tour and I lost a significant amount of money. And so then I'm like, oh my God, I definitely didn't hear from God. What coffee did I have in some little town? And so, you know, it's just easy to start doubting when things don't go the the way. But I think the thing I try to always remember, and my wife and I talk about this a lot, is like either he's writing this story or I'm writing this story. Mm-hmm. And so when things get confusing, I just have to make a choice mentally. And that's usually where it all starts for me, is this his story or is it my story?
Yeah.
And if it's my story, then I should be stressed out. I mean, I should worry. I should have anxiety because then I'm trying to control. Mm-hmm. If it's his story, then we should go to a park. We should go have a cup of coffee and we should laugh because one day this is just going to be a story we talk about on some cool podcast with people that look better than me. And I'm living in that moment right now. And that's what this whole thing, that's just what I've been wanting to say this whole time. So here we are. It's crazy.
Thank you.
Yeah. So much of life is... Thank you. Is that strange in between, you know? And this whole concept for the whole year, kind of writing these songs that are opposites of each other, looking at different seasons and realizing that a lot of the seasons, like these first two specifically, are all contingent on perspective. Like there will be other seasons we tackle this year that maybe are more circumstantial. But the reality is, and this is something that I'd want to encourage everyone with, including myself, is it's my decision whether I want to be in a season of seeing, because God is always doing something, whether it's...
whether we see it or not.
Right. It's whether I want to acknowledge it or whether I want to focus on things other than like the goals I've made for myself. Mm-hmm. I remember... I think just last week in church, we were talking about it, but friends in college who were nursing majors and had to do like weekly journals where they'd have to journal about a specific thing in the body and they would have to thank God for it. And it would be like this extremely intense, like detail-oriented journal entry thanking God for capillaries and like how they work and like your retina and like how it transfers light and all these different things. And hearing that, it's like stuck with me now 10 years later. Like those are things that I can see that God made and gave me the ability to use, and a family that loves me, like parents that are married still and love Jesus and raised me well, like all these different things. We can, if we're able to have the right perspective, live in a season of seeing, you know, constantly.
Yeah.
And that's not to guilt people into saying like, oh, well, if you feel like you're waiting, then like you're a bad Christian, because we all have moments where we completely lose sight. That's the whole point of remembering. It's because like we forgot.
One step at a time.
Yeah.
You know, it can be a simple decision. Like you're saying, like with
those things.
Those things. Let's leave it at that. Or retinas, or, you know, the fact that you can see or your heart's beating without it telling you to. Like,
right.
Those are simple things that you can just daily, like when you're in that season of waiting or feeling like God's far from you or something, to be like, okay, I can see God in that.
Yeah. I don't want to go too far down this road because next month, this conversation will continue into when we don't feel like we see God. Where do our hearts kind of land? So I think this is a good place. It feels like a good segue. Now you just have to wait a month, everyone, for this conversation to continue.
No big deal.
But we won't have Pedro with us. So we want to take a moment. We want to thank you for spending this time with us.
Thanks, Pedro.
Yeah, thanks, Pedro.
It's my honor.
And we're so encouraged by you and your wife and even your son.
Oh, he's crazy, but I love him.
He's just so cute. We're going to race his little cars that he got later. I can't wait.
Yes.
In the rain?
No, inside.
Oh, okay.
I mean, if that's okay. I don't know.
Pedro, you want to drop a final word of wisdom? We did not tell you we were going to do this. Neither did they know, Jeff and Emily. But you got anything? I can just cut this off too. We don't even have to have this be on the podcast.
No, I think a final nugget. That's good, you know?
A final nugget.
A little ranch. I mean, it's weird because I feel like I have to say something really deep, but I would just say to anybody listening, sometimes life is hard and it's, I get all emotional. I'm so such a four. Sometimes life is hard and I would just tell you not to give up, you know, whatever you're going through, whatever you're sensing, whatever you're feeling. The cool thing is like we serve a God who's in it. He's in it with you. And I believe that not because I was told to, but because I've actually walked through some stuff. And so he's with you. He loves you. And we love you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So if nothing else, just know you're not alone. And yeah, I'm going to stop because I'll probably get emotional and cry and just love people, man.
That was perfect.
That's awesome.
Well, thank you so much for listening to this episode of More Than Music Podcast with For All Seasons. If you want to know more about what we're doing, you can visit us on any of our socials. It's FA Seasons on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook. We also have new music coming. This podcast is specifically centered around our first song of the year, Every Good Thing, but we've got another song coming at the end of February. And then if you want to learn more about how you can further support us, you can visit our Patreon page. It's just patreon.com/FA Seasons. But until next time, blessings to you and we love you.
Bye-bye.
Dasvidaniya.
That's Russian for goodbye.